Well, good morning, he says as he's still walking away from you.
Thanks for the microphone, Glenn. Well, I'm glad to see you all here today. I put a design on the slides from last week, and then I don't know how to get rid of a little stray thing when I want just a blank black slide. I'm going to have this up. I think. So, let's see here. Who else here? All right. There's some people here that weren't here last Sunday night. Not to shame you or anything, you know. But this morning, I want to do a little bit of a recap of what we covered on Sunday night and a follow up to that. So that's why, you know, when Jerry was like, "You want to talk about that?" I'm like, "Nah, we'll talk about it in the service." So for those of you that weren't here, and those of you that weren't here, remember, you can always hit the live stream and catch up on it. Pastor Weigel did, so he had messaged me some points, which I now need to, you know, add in. No, I'm just kidding. He messaged and said, you know, good job and all that, but and a few little funny points, nothing that I needed to, like, oh, yeah, by the way, before Pastor gets back, I have to tell you this or that. Nothing like that at all. Where's my document? Where's my document up earlier?
Did you lose something?
Yeah, well, I've lost something.
Oh, no.
I'd left it open, so I should just be able to have it right here. Right in front of me. Okay. All right, well, if you have your Bibles and you want to have a passage open, I do have, so similar in format to what I had Sunday night, I have some pieces, and then I have a large passage of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Exodus chapter 3, that's where we will spend the majority of our time once we get there, just because I like to read the whole passage. And we'll be reading chapter 3 and chapter 4, and then coming back to a little bit in chapter 2 as well. But Sunday night, I preached on sometimes you lose things. God gave me a good example in my life. I left my laptop on an airplane on my way out to California, and I just completely forgot it. Just poof. It's just I left it sitting there beside the seat, gathered up all my other things. You travel a lot, Pastor Mira. This happens to you all the time, right? This is all the time, right? Yeah. Things get lost. I guess it happens often enough that the airlines have a process for it. So I had followed that process, but I had no expectation that in the world we live in that I was going to see my laptop again. And I still haven't seen it, but update on that, I did get a notice on Friday. Got an email that said, we found your lost item. Please click here to give us your bank account information to pay to have it shipped to you. And I just clicked the link. And it popped up some red warning flags that it wasn't legitimate or whatever. I said, that's fine. And I gave my bank account information. And no, I'm leading you along the wrong path there. It was the legitimate portal of the airlines that notified me that they found my laptop. And then I have options to get it shipped back to me. There's no free option. Obviously, it's your fault. You left it on the plane, you dummy. They might have padded those shipping numbers. But you have options between, like, next day priority, Saturday delivery, emergency options to ground transportation or whatever. It'll show up in a month or two or something like that. So I picked the option that should have it here Monday or Tuesday, since it was Friday when I got the notification. So we will see. We are pessimistically hopeful that it's intact still. I mean, it could have gotten smashed. They could have thrown it out the window and driven over it with the plane, but you could read the serial number on the back. So they said, yep, this is it. Ship him this smashed thing. The memory card may be gone. It may still be in there. Who knows? We don't know. But it was an answer to prayer. Thank you for those of you that prayed, that we have our lost sheep planning to be returned to us. And then the disappointment of the new sheep who replaced the lost sheep, and the conflict that's going to happen between those two when they see each other, you know. We'll see if that's even an issue. Probably not an issue at all. So Just a follow-up from Sunday night, sometimes you lose things. Well, sometimes you find things as well. And in the Sunday night message, we'd covered the parable, and I'm not sure 100%. I was just kind of building some quick slides, my slides might not match exactly, but Ethan can just kind of follow along as best he can. In our Sunday night message, we had covered that things that are lost, and before you pop anything else up, does anyone who was here remember what is the one thing from the message that can be lost for good? Anybody? Mrs. Nancy Tunis in the back.
Unsaved loved ones that die unsaved.
Unsaved people that die unsaved, that do not turn. They're the only thing for the purpose of what we were talking about that are lost for good, because there's no finding them after that. And eventually, yes, they are completely destroyed in hell forever. But for the world we live in and the stuff that we have around us, generally, things that get lost aren't destroyed. They're just somewhere else. They rolled into somewhere else. There was an earring that got lost last night. Found the backing for the earring, but the earring... Oh, wait, we did find the earring. Yeah, did find the earring. It has to exist somewhere, right? Things don't just cease to exist. So it matters not destroyed. It's transferred from one thing to another. So things aren't generally lost for good. They are transferred from one place to another. So while something is lost, it could be repurposed to somebody else. And that was a potential expectation, was that the lost laptop could be somebody else's now. It could be someone maybe gets a good deal on it on an eBay auction or whatever. But it's not lost for good. It goes somewhere. We went over the parables of the lost sheep in Luke 15, 3 through 6. And most of these, I kind of rely on you guys to know these things. But if you don't, feel free to take some time. We'll study them. It's a parable Jesus is telling about a man that has 100 sheep and he loses one, which really parallels with me and my technology of how many lost pieces of technology sheep that I have around. If I lose one, it might be a big deal. And he finds it, and when he finally finds it, he calls together all his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found the thing that was lost." And the same with Luke 15, 8 to 9, the lost coin. This woman only had 10 pieces of silver. And there's some speculations of what those were worth. Might have been the penny, which was a day's wage, or it may have been a specific coin that was like a whole year's worth of wages. We don't really know. But she lost 10% of what she had. First guy only lost 1% because he lost one out of 100. Well, what are you crying about? The other person lost 10% of what they had. Okay, maybe you should cry about it. But the point is, you scour the house, you look around, and you find the thing that you lost. And you rejoice that you found it. And if you don't ever find it, you leave it in God's hands and say, you know, that it's somebody else's now. It's out there. It'll be dug up in some archaeological dig in the future, because it was in a place that nobody found it. Then we went through the parable of the lost son. It's still in Luke 15, the lost son. And this wasn't just a wayward sheep or a coin that dropped and rolled off, you know, down somewhere. This was a son that intentionally was lost. He wanted to run off. And so he went off and wasted all that he had. And when he came back, he had purposed to tell his father that he wasn't even worthy to be his son, but that he would just be a servant. And his dad interrupted him and said that he didn't even let him finish. He just said, "Look, we're going to rejoice that my son, who was dead to me, has returned to me." That was all of those parables were all specifically about rejoicing in heaven over one lost soul that comes to repentance. So in those parables, we see many times lost and found is in the same condition or it's worse. So, you know, my laptop might have been driven over by a forklift before it gets back to me. It might be beat up by the FedEx driver who kicks it out of the and just throws it. Because I didn't put signature required or anything, so it's going to land on my front porch one way or the other. It'll just get thrown there and hopefully we find it before the porch pirates get it, right? That's the problem with all deliveries nowadays. So, in the same condition or maybe worse, the lost sheep, when the shepherd went and found it and brought it back, he might be missing a leg. Because he might have, you know, that sheep might have gotten in trouble with the wolves, and so we get him back, or might have gotten stuck in a briar patch or something. So that we don't expect typically that things come back in better condition than they were when you lose them. But sometimes things do come back better. There's another process of things being lost and found better than they were. And there was a good example of this with King Saul. And that's where we kind of parked. He went out looking for the lost donkeys, and he found himself to be king. That's the story where he gets to be crowned over Israel. He gets a meal with the prophets. He gets all this praise and attention, and that starts him on a path. It wasn't what he was looking for. It wasn't what he had lost, but he got something else. I had a little add-on for that. I hadn't mentioned it, and someone brought it to me, was that in the story of Saul, he went looking for lost donkeys, and at the end, he has found men. He has, at the end of, let's read it here, in verse 26 of 1 Samuel 10, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. So he went out looking at the beginning for lost donkeys, but he brought home people. And now he's got a party of people that hang out with him, just like David's, you know, band of mighty men that hung around with him, knowing he's gonna be the king, they're there with him. Saul had started to collecting people with him, in addition to animals and things like that. And then I had mentioned that the lost coin or the sheep might even have been sacrificed in the celebration. So, yes, we got our sheep back. We're gonna throw a party. Well, you better have food at the party. So, is it one of those other 99 sheep that you slaughter and you feed everybody? Is it the coins that you found that you spend to have the party because we lost? I don't know, but it does put into perspective that when God brings something back that you thought you had lost, you should treat it as a gift to you. You didn't expect it. You didn't need it back. Not like income you need to tithe on per se, but God blessed you by giving you back this thing that you had lost, that you had, with your irresponsibility, had lost track of. So treat it as a blessing to you and call others together and say, rejoice with me because I found this thing that I lost. So rejoice with me. I found the thing that I, well, so Delta found the thing that I lost and they are supposed to be shipping it to me. So that brings me to the message for today, this morning, the rest of our time, just fairly short here. I don't need to talk forever. In Exodus chapter 3, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to read it. I don't think I even put, there's nothing else on the slide, is there? Yep, there we go. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Exodus 2:3-4. We'll start in chapter 3, and then we'll reference back to chapter 2. And I hope most of you probably already know this, but the passage won't be up there. I didn't copy and paste it in. If Ethan's really fast with his tech, he could open a Bible program and get it to the page and drag it over the window, then scroll down. But we're not expecting that. So feel free to read along in your heads or in your Bibles if you have them with you. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are here in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I'm like, why were the Hivites listed twice? It's because I said Hivites instead of Hittites. Got to make sure those are different. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and her that sojourneth in her house, jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And chapter 4, And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord God said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And they, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they shall not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the deaf, the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take his rod, this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto the brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. We'll go back to why that was a thing. We skipped it in chapter 2, but we'll grab it again when we come back. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon his ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he will not let the people go. And thou shalt say to Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel's my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And we'll read the rest of it as well. Verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Seems like what? Like, seems a little out of place. But you could cut this out when if you're preaching this sometime later, Bud, you could cut it out and then, you know, not touch this part. But it's okay. All right. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So we know why. Like, Moses had been commanded to circumcise his child and he hadn't done that. So when they were going back, God said, Well, hold on. You missed something I had asked you to do. So he let him go. Let's see. Surely thou art a bloody husband to me. So he let him go, and then she said, A bloody husband thou art, because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. Going back to chapter 2, if you want to hit it real quick, just the end of it, it was in verse, I printed some things off, but then I didn't, it was in verse 11 through 15, that Moses, so this is before the burning bush, Moses, was grown that, let's read it. He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Continuing on and finishing out the rest of that that chapter 2, Moses left Egypt, he ran away, he went to this land of Midian, and that's where he helped out some people and then got a wife and had a kid. And then he's helping his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He's helping him out and he's wandering around with the sheep. And that's where we get the whole, story of the burning bush and everything. So that's the context of what we're looking at here is, this whole thing. And it's really easy. In fact, I think I probably have preached on all the excuses that Moses had when he's talking to God through the burning bush as to why he shouldn't go. Don't want to get into all that. Feel free to find that in an archive somewhere and review it, or I'll preach another time, whatever. But what I want to look at this in the context of the lost and found conversation. And in just the few minutes that we have left here, just hit a few points. Moses grew up in Egypt. He was raised by, Pharaoh's daughter. So he's in a position of power. He's got a great place. He's got some purpose in life. Like, you're going to be something. You're going to be something great, man. He's got a position of power to some extent. He's a somebody. He's doing pretty well. And we don't know how much he was trained, how much he knew about his role in the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. We know he figured it out now. You know, this is much more, like, it's the 2x4 over the head of the horse. Like, hey, you need to go deliver my people out of Egypt. But Moses had a pretty good setup, and he kind of messed it up with going and slaying an Egyptian. And we don't know for sure if he thought that was him trying to start the rebellion, you know, but obviously he was afraid when that happened because he oopsed and he shouldn't have done that. So he lost his place. He had started in Egypt. He was in a good situation, had a good place to live, had a good environment. He lost his place and he went to the land of Midian. And even his place of stature and position, we'll get to that. But he was in Egypt and got kicked out. You know, he ran away and then he came back. He found that his place was back in Egypt where he belonged. And it took God talking to him through the burning bush to say, get back where I told you to be. You're in the wrong spot. You're in the wrong place. You've lost your place. Go find the right place. Get back into the right place. It's interesting that's an opposite parallel to the children of Israel. They had their place. They were where they were, and then they went down into Egypt, and now they needed to get out of Egypt and get back into the right place. Secondly, he had lost his purpose. He was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. We find other passages that the modern world wants to tell us that Moses was just a bumbling idiot, that he was not educated, and you know, really disparage him. But Moses was the human author of the first 5 books of the Bible. And that's why they want to disparage him. That's why they want to say that he couldn't have done that, because there's no way he could have been that articulate to cover all that and to be able to write that. But he was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. He had a purpose when, as he was being raised, you know, especially being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, there was going to be some purpose to his life. He was going to be some leader. He was going to be some, you know, major advisor to the Pharaoh or something. He had a purpose, and he lost all that when the conflict came up in Exodus chapter 2, 11 and 15 with the Egyptian. His, up to that point, he was blending in really with the Egyptians, but he knew he was different. He knew he was not an Egyptian. And so when the conflict really came up between the two of them, between the Egyptians and the Israelites, he took a side and he killed an Egyptian. But was that really his purpose? Was it his purpose to actually go and, you know, slay all the Egyptians? Was it really his purpose to fight them all off and be the leader? He lost his purpose. So now, instead of trying to settle quarrels between people, instead of trying to learn and develop and become a leader, now he's going to lead sheep. And I said follow sheep because my brain was telling me that there was another Bible passage that said that Moses followed the sheep. That was actually Amos. I was looking that up. I'm trying to figure that out because I was going to reference that Moses wasn't even a very good shepherd because he followed the sheep. It was Amos. Amos wasn't a very good shepherd. He followed the sheep and God called him to go preach. But I can imagine Moses probably wasn't a very good shepherd either. But we'll leave that to speculation. He had lost his purpose and he needed a new purpose. God said, your purpose is to go free my people. You are to go be their deliverer. Let my people go. You will be my spokesman. And Moses said, well, I can't speak. And God said, I made your mouth. I know what it's capable of. I heard you. You know, I know how you can yell at those sheep pretty good. I know you can talk to those Israelites and try to keep them from arguing with each other. You can talk, but I'll use Aaron. Sure, we'll use another mouth as well. He had lost his process. When Moses thought that he was doing a good thing and going out there and saying, well, I'm going to get rid of one more bad Egyptian. The Bible says he looked this way and that way and then decided, you know, he saw there was no man. Huh. Nobody's watching, so I'll just kill him and hide his body in the sand. And that was not the process that God wanted him to take. God did not want him to be this, like, secret undercover, you know, Israeli fighting force deliverer in the background. You know, you think of like the black outfits with the ninjas sneaking through and all the guards just fall over as they sneak through and nobody knows who did it. That was not the process that God wanted Moses to follow. He had lost his process. He did not have the right process. So he found God's process. God said, walk in there and shoot Pharaoh in the head. No, he didn't say that. He said, walk in there and tell Pharaoh, God says this. You better do it. And if he doesn't believe you, which he won't, do these signs. You show him that he's not the most powerful thing on the planet. You follow my process. Don't follow your process. Moses had lost his process, and he found God's process. Walk in boldly, talk directly to Pharaoh. He even reminded him, because he said, go do this to Pharaoh. He even reminded them later. We read it twice, where he said, don't forget to show all these signs to Pharaoh when you get there. You're probably doing these signs for all your friends. You're probably doing all these signs for the leaders of Israel to say, no, I'm really the guy that God sent. Look, he gave me this staff that turns into a snake. Haha. You know, isn't that great? Look, I could turn my hand into leprous. You want to touch it? Anybody want to touch it? Nobody wants to touch it. He's probably doing these, you know, for his father-in-law and for the elders and everything. But God said, use my process. Go in and do this before Pharaoh. Show Pharaoh these things. And those were in God's power as well, that Moses had lost his power. He was a pretty strong guy. To be able to just slay an Egyptian, I don't know, maybe caught him off guard. But if he's looking this way and that way and there's nobody around, that guy probably knows he's there, unless he's sneaking up behind him. So it's like, hey, I got something to tell you. You know, Moses was a pretty strong person. He had some muscles. He thought he was doing this in his power. He thought it was going to be his responsibility to go kill off all the Egyptians and free Israel. To do that in his strength, to do that in his power. But he had lost his power. He had misused it, not in the way God wanted it done. And so God said, no. I'm going to do all these things. It's going to be my power, not yours. Don't try to rest on your power. Rest on my power. And then finally, he had lost his place, his purpose, his process, and his power, and he lost his team. I'm sorry, we need a P word that is team. His posse. He lost his posse. There you go. While he was in Egypt, he would have had friends. He would have had co-worker, you know, people that supported him, that were part of. I mean, he ended up being raised by his own family. When the daughter of Pharaoh said, go find a Hebrew woman. Hey, there's one. She looks like she needs a kid. She just had the kid. She needs a kid. Have her take care of it. So he would have had a collection of friends, a collection of people in Egypt that were his buddies. And when he screwed up, he lost that team, and he fled, and he built a new team. He found, while he was out in Midian, he found and built a new team of people. He found himself a wife. He got a son out of that deal. And he found Aaron, which we could get into later, all the problems with Aaron, you know, and the golden calf and all the problems that brought in. But he found that he's got somebody on his side who's going to do the speaking for him, who's going to at least assist him in this journey. And when he came back, we read that he met with all the elders of Israel, and they're all on board. Instead of it being a conflict of, who made you a ruler? Who made you a leader over us? Who made you a prince over us? When he came back and said, this is not me, muscle man Moses. Muscle man Moses. There's another one. this is, you know, when it wasn't, it's not me, you need to follow me because I'm the guy, I will lead us to deliverance. When he came back and said, hey, guys, you won't believe this. There's a bush on fire, and it told me it's God, and told me everything that I needed to know, gave me these miracles to perform. I even argued with it. Like, this is the God of our fathers. This is the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. And he told me to come back here and do this. That's when the elders of Israel said, yeah, that sounds like what God would do. God would not, you know, ask you to just be the muscle man and we'll do it in our own power, in our own strength. We'll do it with his power. We'll do it with his strength. So Moses had lost his place, his purpose, his process, his power, and his posse, and he found God's place that he needed to be back where he belonged. He found his purpose. He found the right process. He found God's power, and he found the team that he needed to do it, the posse, to go back to Egypt and do that work. And we can tear that apart later on all the negative things like, well, who am I? You know, all the conflicts that arose. But as a whole, this was a lost man. This was Moses screwed up and he ran off to Midian. He's lost. He's lost everything. And it took that turning point to bring him back and to have him found again. So it, from God's perspective, God had a guy in Egypt ready to go, and he's not doing it right. And it, what happened? Where is he? And not that God is confused as to where he went or anything, but he's over here. And God's like, okay, I had him in Egypt. He's right here. He was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. He's exactly what I need. Where did he go? Here he is, fire bush. And says, hey, you're in the wrong spot. You're doing the wrong thing. You're using the wrong power. You got it all wrong. I want you over there. And God found him and picked him up and said, get going. Oh, wait, hold on. Forgot to circumcise your kid. Do that. All right, okay. Get back over where you belong. So even I see it, you know, humorously, from God's perspective, God even loses people sometimes or things. And then when he finds them, he rejoices that he's got it back on the right path. And then, boom, he's there in Egypt. And Moses can do exactly what God wanted them to do and show him the signs. And God can say, I will show myself strong and I will get my people out. They're there now. I can rejoice that the lost son has returned and is now doing the job I've asked him to do. So sometimes you lose things, and sometimes, like we saw today, sometimes you find things. So let's pray, and then we'll get ready for the morning service. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us as we turn from what we're doing now and into the morning service. We pray you'd be with Pastor Miro and the words for him to speak. We pray that you would give him clarity of thought and presentation as he brings your word to us. Be with those that can't be here for whatever reason, that you would bring them back at the next appointed time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the examples that you give us in your word. We thank you for not leaving us lost, as we could be in the wrong place. We could be doing things the wrong way. We thank you for calling us back, for leading us back to you, that we may accomplish your purposes. We pray that you would have your will and way in this service, the remaining services today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.